Welcome to the Family Farm Podcast, priority topics for family medicine and community pharmacy. Hi everyone, my name's Tina. I'm a community pharmacist in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia.
And my name is Billy Lin. I am a practicing GP in Vancouver for the last 6 months.
Whoa!
Thank you.
Finally out of the residency program.
And I'm glad the world is better outside, gotta say. But I'm still involved with the residency program as a preceptor, so still love you guys. Anyway, so Tina.
Yes?
As my favorite pharmacist, I have a question for you.
I'm honored.
Do you know a lot about medication coverage in diabetes?
I can say I know a few.
Okay, so here's the case. I had a patient who came from Taiwan, and he's been on acarbose for diabetes. I know there are some common side effects of acarbose, like bloating, flatulence.
Very, very gassy.
But this guy has none of those issues, and he doesn't want to switch to other anti-diabetic medications. So he wants me to renew his medication here. So I prescribed it. I don't have a lot of experience prescribing this due to the side effects, but I did. But after a few days, the pharmacist sent me a fax saying that this medication is not covered, which to my surprise, because I thought it was an old medication, it should be covered.
Okay.
So I set out to look at all the different drug classes in diabetes and cross-referenced with BC drug plans just to see which ones are covered, which ones are covered only by special authority, and which ones are not covered and you need to check with your third-party insurance company to see if it's covered.
So acarbose is not covered under special authority. Probably due to a lot of the side effects, and it's not as effective to decrease your A1C.
That's right. So I'm following this guy's A1C closely. He is my new patient. Well, all of the patients are new patients because I'll be practicing for 6 months. But anyway, yes. So so let's just go over the major classes and their individual drugs and what's covered and what's not covered and what's a GP to do. So we will assume that people are somewhat familiar with these medications, their side effects, their dosing. So today's episode, we're focusing on basically coverage.
Yes, especially on the common medications that's prescribed and used for diabetes.
So the big gun in diabetes is metformin.
Metformin, yes.
So it is covered fully, so and that's the number one go-to medication by all available evidence. So there's no question about that. I usually start with a lower dose and then titrate it up every couple of weeks, and just to avoid and decrease the chance of a GI side effect.
So
moving on, we talked about acarbose.
Oh yeah, just one more thing on metformin.
Oh sure.
Do you know there's an extended release tablet available?
I do not know that.
It's it does not come in a generic form. It only comes in a brand name, and it's called Glumetza Extended Release. And that one is expensive. That one is not covered.
And what's the dose on that?
They come in a 500 milligram dose and also a 1,000 milligram dose. So some doctors, if the patient does not want to take three times a day of metformin, like 1,500 milligram every day, they take 1,500 milligram once a day. So one tablet of the 1,000, one tablet of the 500. They're very big pills. They're like horse pills.
Horse pills.
And then some patients choke on it, and she say, oh, I have to drink lots of water to swallow it down. So like you can't really cut it because in the extended release coating. But yeah, there's another option, but it's expensive. Like
it's so it's once daily dosing.
Once daily dosing.
But it's not covered?
Not covered.
Not even by special authority?
Special authority, no. No, not by special authority.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So acarbose is delisted. It was covered, I guess, at some point, but it is now not covered. I called special authority for this particular patient, and the PharmaNet, well, I guess this PharmaCare representative asked me to fill out a form listing all the diabetic medications he's tried and the reason for their failure, and basically appeal their decision to delist this for the patient, and then the government might consider covering it.
Oh,
that was a that would be a lot of work to get this not so effective medication covered.
Yeah, and do you need a lot of doctors to sign off on that appeal?
I don't think so. I think it's just basically a lot of time on my part, and writing to the government and then begging for them to cover this patient for acarbose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Moving on. DPP-4 inhibitors. So I guess there's some background arm wrestling between the drug companies, because the first DPP-4 inhibitor on the market, which is Januvia, is now delisted.
Yes.
I wonder what happened there.
Probably some research going on. I don't know. I don't know the background.
I don't think there is any evidence to say one DPP-4 is better than the other.
Or the cost of making the drug.
I think that's what happened. I think I talked to a drug rep at some point, and they say the BC government was cutting down costs, and the Januvia manufacturer would not play game, so the government delisted them.
Really?
Yes. Anyway.
Now, recently, I also talked to the Januvia company on another conference.
Yeah.
And they said they might come back.
Oh.
So I don't know. So I don't know in the future they might come back.
So at this point, everyone's switching to either Trugenta, which is linagliptin, or Onglyza, which is saxagliptin. And both of these are by special authority. And what's the criteria for special authority on these DPP-4 inhibitors?
So first, you have to try the insulin NPH, or if insulin NPH is considered not an appropriate treatment for this patient. And you also have to try a maximal tolerated dose of metformin in combination with a maximally tolerated dose of sulfonylurea. Now, if all these are not suitable, then you can apply to special authority for linagliptin and saxagliptin.
Okay. So if I understand it right, you have to either try NPH and fail, or consider NPH and for whatever reason it's not suitable, and you maxed out metformin and a sulfonylurea, and those are still not effective, then you can apply for special authority for these DPP-4 inhibitors?
Yes, that's all correct.
Is the GLP-1 receptor agonist. So this is called Victoza, the trade name, and it is not listed. At all.
Which
is too bad.
But then the same thing. With Victoza, you have to inject it.
Yeah.
Which is not as convenient, right?
That's true. So if someone is afraid of injections and they don't want to use insulin, why would they want to have injections for Victoza? So anyway, it's super expensive. It is quite effective, but it is an injection and it is not covered. Okay, moving on to more injections, the insulins. We know there are rapid-acting insulins, short-acting, intermediate-acting, and long-acting insulins.
Mm-hmm.
The rapid-acting insulin, such as Humulog, Novorapid, and Apidra, are partially covered. So it doesn't take a special authority application to get these partially covered. But as to how much it will cover and how much the patient actually do have to pay, I probably have to call the specific pharmacy because they also have markup and everything like that. So it's hard to give a concrete dollar amount to these medications.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the PharmaCare formula research, they will probably tell you the maximum dollar amount that PharmaCare covers per unit, which they have per milliliters as their unit, and that you can find on their website.
Which we'll also link.
Yes, check out our website.
Okay, and so short-acting insulin, Humulin R and Novulin Pronto, these are fully covered, as are the intermediate-acting NPH and premixed insulin, Humulin 3070, Novulin 3070, and the other combinations, 40-60, 50-50. There are some premixed insulin that is not fully covered, only partially covered, and these include Humulog Mix 25, Mix 50, and Novomix 30.
So this basically comes down to the ones that are actually all covered are short-acting Humulin R, Novulin Toronto, NPH, and the premixed Humulin 3070, Novulin 3070, 4060, 5050. Only these ones are fully covered. Without any special authority or anything. Only these ones, only these insulin are fully covered.
That's right. Yeah. So short-acting and intermediate-acting are the covered ones. Rapid acting and the premixed, some premixed rapid acting insulin are only partially covered. And arguably the best insulins, the long-acting insulins, they are covered only by a special authority. And of course, these include Lantus and Levemir, Glargine and Detremir.
And the criteria for approval of special authority for patients with a type 1 diabetes or a patient with type 2 diabetes that are over 17 years of age are the following. So they should be currently taking insulin MPH or a premixed insulin at an optimal dosing. And if they have experienced an unexplained nocturnal hypoglycemia at least once a month, even despite this optimal dosing, or they have experienced or continue to experience a severe allergic reaction to their existing insulin treatment.
Okay, so the patient either has to have type 1 diabetes or they have type 2 diabetes over 17 years old.
Yes.
Okay. And they basically could not tolerate the shorter and intermediate acting insulins due to allergies or hypoglycemia.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's good. And there is a new insulin glargine called Toujeo.
Toujeo, yes. This one's a fancy one.
It's fancy. The drug reps are pushing it, and it is not covered. Moving on.
Well, we can talk a little bit about Toujeo. So okay. It is like insulin glargine, except the units per mil is a little bit different. Whereas Lantus is 100 units per mil, whereas Toujeo is 300 units per mil.
So a shorter volume of injection, okay?
Yeah.
And I think they're trying to tell us it's a flatter curve, right? It's even flatter than Lantus.
So less chance of a hypoglycemic event.
Yeah. But I remember when Lantus came out, that was the, oh, no peak. But now Lantus has a peak now because they're trying to push Toujeo.
We'll see how this one goes.
Yeah. Moving on. I want to talk about the meglitinides. And the example is Gluconorm or Replagnide. It is not covered, and maybe that's why I don't see it very often. Do you see this in your pharmacy?
I've probably seen it like once or twice. It's rarely used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So another class is very commonly used is sulfonylureas. Two representatives are glyburide and glycoside. And as you know, the glyburide is known to cause more hypoglycemia, mm-hmm. Whereas the glycoside is less risk for hypoglycemia. Unfortunately, only in BC, nowhere else in Canada, is glycoside not covered. It is only covered by special authority.
That's too bad.
So that means we have to use glyburide and cause some hypoglycemic events before we can apply for special authority to get glucoside covered.
Mm. Yeah, so yeah, the special authority for glucoside is either treatment failure or intolerance to at least one of these sulfonylurea drugs. So not just glyburide, have you ever seen tolbutamide?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Okay, so that's on the special authority criteria.
Yes, I guess tolbutamide is
You can try that as well.
Is the other sulfonylurea?
Yeah, that is also okay. Covered.
Is it as high risk to cause hypoglycemia as glyburide?
I would assume it's the same risk as glyburide.
Yeah.
But now that one is not really in use, so people just try glyburide first.
Yeah. And if the patient does like come back and tell you, oh, I have some jitteriness, some dizziness, I think I have a low threshold to call that hypoglycemia.
That should be enough criteria apply.
I think so. Yeah. I just feel bad because every other province in Canada has glycoside covered fully. Only in BC do we have to jump through hoops to get this clearly superior sulfonylurea covered.
Or maybe you should write an appeal on this.
Yeah, maybe I should. Maybe Family Farm Podcast can create a petition to pressure, use our political power to pressure the BC government.
Like we have political power?
Of course, look at our listeners. We have power.
Okay,
moving on. The new SGLT2 inhibitors, very hot topic. Invokana, which is canagliflozin, came out first. And then there is Forxiga, which is dapagliflozin. And Jardiance, empagliflozin.
Which Jardiance is fairly new.
Mm-hmm. They're still on the medical journals, so you know that they're dumping in new marketing dollars to advertise to us. But in terms of coverage, though, it is not listed, so not with special authority either. But the manufacturers, they're pushing this drug so hard, they're actually having a special promotion, basically.
Yeah, well, it really depends on if either the clinic or the pharmacy get these, well, what they call it is like a drug card from the manufacturer, which they can potentially cover up to a year's worth of the medication.
So, so either the clinic has the card or the pharmacy has a card. Basically, the special card says, oh, this patient needs to take this medication, and the manufacturer would cover the drug cost for the whole year. But then afterwards, they will still have to pay for it out of pocket.
Yeah, and we don't know when these drug cards will disappear. So if they do, then it can be quite pricey.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the old TZDs?
Oh, now these ones, I don't really want to talk about it. Not really like anyone is using these.
Yeah, these are basically completely fallen out of favor. And these include rosiglitazone and pioglitazone.
Yeah, especially rosiglitazone. There's a lot about is it heart failure?
Yeah, causing heart failure, edema, bladder cancer. Right, and pioglitazone. So that I think that's why it became delisted.
Yeah, back then people have to like sign these forms about, yes, I want to take these medication, and I'm aware of all the bad effects.
Really?
From it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you actually have to sign
a consent form.
Yeah, you have to sign a form.
Wow.
And now the form is gone, and the rosiglitazone is like, I don't see it anymore.
Completely delisted.
Yeah, but pioglitazone, some people are still using it. And then you can apply for special authority, which is the same criteria as Onglyza.
So if you don't remember, Onglyza, the special authority is when the insulin NPH is not an option due to hypoglycemia, adverse effects, or basically a clinical judgment that it's not an option, and failing maximal doses of metformin and sulfonylurea. That's when pioglitazone can be approved for special authority coverage.
Right.
But why would you do that?
Well, pioglitazone has fewer side effects than rosiglitazone. So some people still use it.
Mm.
But that is considered a more like, you know, like bottom line treatment.
Yeah. You'd be considered old school. Old school.
If you compare your drugs with other diabetes brands, then
yes,
that will be like out of favor.
Not fashionable.
Not take that out.
No, that's okay.
No.
Okay, I think that comes to the end. Besides those things, there are some combination drugs, and they basically, for example, linagliptin plus metformin, or sitagliptin plus metformin. Because linagliptin is covered by special authority, the combination product, Genta Duetto, is also covered by special authority with the same criteria.
Yes, and Janumet, since Januvia is not covered right now, so Janumet, which is sitagliptin and metformin, is not covered under special authority or covered at all.
Okay. So let's look back and give a summary. So a patient with diabetes, okay? The first and the one with the most evidence is metformin. So everyone should be started on metformin first if they need medication. And then, this is actually pretty bleak. In BC, the second option is probably glyburide, which is covered.
Uh-huh.
And besides metformin and glyburide, only the short-acting and intermediate-acting insulins are covered.
So that is basically how many drugs? Kind of like five drugs that are fully covered.
Yeah, two oral medications and insulin. So only these options are available to be fully covered. And you have to try these before you can... You have to try glyburide before you can get glycoside covered. You have to try NPH before you can get long-acting insulin covered. And you have to try all of these to get your DPP-4 inhibitors covered by special authority. I think that's a good summary.
That's a very good summary.
Yeah. Okay, so check out our website for links to the drug coverage compiled by the Diabetes Association across Canada. So even if you're not in BC, you can check out your province and see which drugs are covered and which are only covered by special authority. And check our links to the BC formulary to see.
We'll also link the special authority criteria. You can also do a formulary search. We'll also link that website into our website as well.
And our website is fppodcast.org.
Yes. It's been inactive for a while, but we're getting back to it.
What do you mean? We just took a break. That's a short break.
We might take a break soon. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think we should keep going. Let's get it started. The reason why we came back, Tina, isn't it because you keep checking Facebook, our Facebook page, and then you keep seeing a few views a day.
Yeah, you always see like you have one or two new views. So I asked Billy one day, should we get back to FP Podcast?
Yeah, that means at least we have two audience who's checking our webpage.
Yeah, and so, they're new views.
So yeah, so just for you guys, we're back. So if we've become inactive again, you can have your money back.
We're not even taking their money.
Yeah, you can have 100% of $0 back.
No, but we will continue to make more podcasts, everyone. This time we'll be more motivated since Billy is already out from residency. We'll have more time.
And actually have like legit practice questions that I actually do want to ask a pharmacist. So
yeah,
this is going to be good.
I'll improve my skills too.
Okay, thank you for listening.
Leave any comments you want.
Feedback on iTunes helps.
Yeah, and then check out our website again.
Okay, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Family Farm Podcast. Please leave your feedback and check out our show notes at fppodcast.org.